Hello, all you great happy Hearthstone listeners. Before we get going, I have to let you know something dreadfully awful happened literally 15 minutes before we started recording. My microphone, which I have had for just over 2.5, actually closer to 3 years now, had a part of it fall out. And as of this recording, I still can't find that part, but it's the part that the micro USB plugs into, which gives it its power and allows it to hook into my laptop, which I record on. So because of that, you'll notice that the audio is a little lesser than it normally is right now, and that will translate into the full episode. Really unfortunate that it happened when it happened, and I'm going to have to get a replacement sometime in the very near future. I'll be looking at those Christmas lists a lot more intently. But just wanted to give you a heads up for this episode, and I probably won't full on. Oh, actually, I'll probably be happy the week that I do get a replacement in the future. So I'll let you know during that section when it's appropriate. But for now, at least, I'll have to have some interim options. So this is a really fun episode. So I hope you enjoy it half as much as I enjoyed recording it, and I hope that it makes your day. You, my friend, are listening to the Happy Hearthstone. This episode is brought to you, as always, by listeners just like you. Thank you so much, Major Death, Boticus, Wicked Good, Brett R., Doge TK, Mr. Jones, Trevor Y., and Avantes for supporting the show and making it possible. You can join them and get some great rewards over at patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone. And if you're still on the edge about getting that Descent of Dragons pre-order, you can get the single player for free and support the show in the process. Go to thehappyhearthstone.com, scroll to the bottom, and click on the blog post to find out how. Hello and welcome to episode 188 of the Happy Hearthstone, the longest running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space and time and cards. I'm your host, Andrew Brown, and it's good to be back in the swing of things. What would be the swing of things here at the Happy Hearthstone? Well, an episode like you've always come to know and love from this show, and that's where we bring on a member of our awesome community to grace us with their presence and also lead us in a conversation that they're super passionate about. And my goodness, do we have a great person and a great conversation about something that you're probably very interested in. So I'm joined by none other than Jay Miller. What's going on, Jay?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, man. It's always good to boot things up and get it going. You and I actually had like several audio things going into this recording. So I hope that we've like gotten all of the ghosts and audio goblins out of our system before we get into the thick of things here.
I started preparing for this like 3 hours ago, just fighting audio issue after audio issue. So I feel like we are good to go.
Okay, I like it, man. Well, it's good to have you on the show. I know many people have probably connected with you somehow through Discord or social media, but many others haven't. So why don't we just start at square one for who Jay Miller is, and why don't you take us step by step through how you got into gaming and Hearthstone in particular, and what your little corner of the world is now.
Sure. So, like Andrew said, my name is Jay Miller. I am a podcaster slash community manager slash developer. But the biggest thing for me is I'm a husband and a dad. And in all of those things, I still find a few seconds to jam a game of Hearthstone in every now and then. But I particularly work in digital media, a lot of podcasting. I have my own podcasts, a few. We'll talk about some newer ones that might be coming out soon.
Mm-hmm. That's a teaser there.
Yeah. So, how I got into Hearthstone. You know, it's funny that when Hearthstone was first announced, I was not a Blizzard fan. Not for any particular reason, just wasn't my speed. I didn't play WoW. I actually played Ion instead. I played Ion for years. All right. I love that game. I'm no longer playing it, but I did for a very long time. I was serving in the military, actually, and when Hearthstone came out, it came out in like 2013, right? Around that time, or 2014?
That sounds right, yeah.
It came out a long, long time ago, and at the time I had just gotten out of the military and just gotten married, so the last thing on my mind was picking up a new hobby. And I got into Hearthstone the same day that my daughter was born. And this is going to make me sound like a really bad dad, but I was, Andrew, you have children, so you know, mm-hmm. you know that process is a very time consuming one. And
all of the parents that are listening right now understand. And
yes.
That's all that matters, okay?
Yeah, there was a lot of downtime. And while we were just kind of sitting in the hospital waiting for, you know, things to happen and all of that, I was like, well, if I'm here, I need to do something. And I don't know what led me to it, but for some reason I had heard about the Boomsday announcement. And like BlizzCon, I think it just happened. I think they had just announced Boomsday, and I was like, you know what? Let me look at it. And little did I know how patch releases work, so I wasn't going to be able to get into like much of things until a few months later. But Boomsday had just come out. It was in September, I believe, and so maybe been out for a month or so. So I get in and I have no idea what I'm doing, but I immediately just fall in love with the game. I played Magic for a long time. I still have tons of physical cards in my house now. And I used to be a Yu-Gi-Oh hustler as a kid.
There you go. Come on.
Yeah. One of the stories that I tell a lot is I almost got expelled in middle school for hosting Yu-Gi-Oh tournaments at the park by my house. And I would teach kids how to play Yu-Gi-Oh! I would convince them that they were good enough to play in tournaments, and then I would beat them for money. And I got in trouble for collecting that prize money and the tournament entry fees on school property. So, that's my story. And I don't know. I started playing Hearthstone last year. I'm a rogue main and when I'm not playing Battlegrounds, and I love aggro and jamming six games in between someone doing a warrior mirror and just having fun with it.
So now that we've been living in a rogue world for quite some time, like, do you remember what rogue was even like before Evil Miscreant was a card?
So when I got into Hearthstone, it was all about odd rogue just being able to hit somebody, you know, just go face. I don't care what my opponent's doing. I'm just going to go face. And if I don't win by turn seven, I know I'm going to lose the match anyway. So let's just hope we pull Leroy and make it happen. And honestly, I still play that way now. Like I a very aggressive tempo warrior or tempo rogue. And I usually tell people by like turn seven, if I haven't popped Myra's, I might as well just concede because I don't feel like I'm going to win this game.
Myra's has been a truly all in card since its inception and for all the aggro variants that it's had. So that's great. What has your ladder experience been like? Is it something where you go in and do your dailies or just scratch the rogue itch, or have you gotten really aggressive with it so far?
So I definitely do my dailies. As a member of the Happy Hearthstone Patreon producers, I've gone through some lessons on how to maximize your gold economy.
That's right.
So that's a good plug. Look for that. So I definitely do my dailies, and up until, you know, 2 weeks ago, I basically just lived on ladder. Like that was, I would just play ladder, and I'm by no means a pro or anything. I used to hang out around, you know, ranks between ranks 15 and 10. Now I hang out between ranks 10 and 5, so there's some improvement. I'd still like to get to Legends someday, but right now I'm a little more intrigued with the newer game type.
I think that you are not alone in those sentiments, and I'd be very interested to see exactly what kind of a shift there's been in the player base, because I know for sure we've got a lot of people who haven't touched Hearthstone in years that are re-downloading and treating it like day one, essentially. But a lot of the core audience too has sort of moved over, and because something fresh and new for people who have been playing every day for Lord knows how long it's a really big deal too for those players.
Well, I do know Quinn Concede was talking about it yesterday as they were doing their recording. One of the major, and I don't want to spoil anything, but one of the major publications for Hearthstone has already said they're not sending out they're only doing one more meta report because there's not enough data reported to them. So, I mean, I think if that's any indicator, maybe that's something we'll talk about a little bit later. People are playing Battlegrounds. People are really digging it. And unfortunately, the ladder is feeling the pain.
Yeah, it is for the most part. I think I even saw a Wild Brethren post that there are less than 100 people on NA that have made a legend for Wild so far, according to the leaderboard. So, yeah, things are dry on both sides of the ladder. But the truth is that Battlegrounds is here. It's a real thing. And we do have to talk about that in our news. But before we get to the news, Jay, I want to know why you're happy today.
So as I kind of hinted earlier, I love podcasting. In the last 5 years, I think I've done probably 5 or 6 different podcasts. And just after talking with a few people in the Hearthstone community and begging them to open up a little bit of space for a newcomer, I am working on the logistics behind doing a Battlegrounds podcast. As I mentioned, I really, really love the game type. When the Auto Battlers first came out, I kind of didn't give it any attention. And then when Dota Underlords came out, I was playing that for a while and really liked it. But I really think that Blizzard is onto something here. I like the game style. I like that the games are quicker than other auto battlers. And I think that there's a lot of nuance to the decisions that can be made that will allow for some really great conversations with many other players who, you know, like you said, there are people who haven't touched the game in years that are coming back in droves. And I would love to kind of get into the mind of the people that feel that way, and the people that have been playing, you know, for years and continue to play on, and this is just kind of a hobby for them. I'm really interested in hearing those stories and really trying to figure out what makes this game so addicting to so many people, and what can I do to improve as a player myself and also help others out there in the community improve as well.
Yeah, the high upside of starting one of those is that there is a massive amount of interest in it right now. So yeah, I was excited.
I better hurry.
Yeah, it's true. I was excited when you told me personally, but I'm also excited to hear that those plans are starting to take shape. So that'll be really great, man. I know. I don't know if you said this directly earlier, but I know you've got a suite of other podcasts, especially that are kind of in the tech and specifically how to be productive with your, you know, technical prowess, perhaps. It's called Productivity in Tech. But but I'm excited to see how that expansion goes into something like this. And I know you're passionate about Hearthstone just as much. So bringing your passion and your expertise with podcasting is going to be a fun collision there, for sure.
You know, one of the things that I really enjoy about podcasting in general, and this is something I recently gave a talk to a bunch of developers about why they should get into podcasting. And one of the things, you know, after that conversation, just talking with some of the other folks at the conference, they asked, they were like, well, I just don't understand podcasting. And I said, well, what's something that you really, really enjoy? And they mentioned dirt bike racing. And I said, well, how many radio stations out there are talking about dirt bike racing on a daily or weekly basis? And he goes, oh, there aren't any. I said, well, how many podcasts are there that talk about it? I go, oh, there's like three or four at least. I said, mm-hmm. well, that's the thing, you know, is we are creating a space where we can talk about things that are interesting to us, not just from a professional standpoint, like I do with, you know, productivity and tech, but also with some of the passions that I have outside of the game, like, or outside of the business, like playing Hearthstone or another podcast that is, you know, in hiatus right now that I used to do called Devotaku, where a bunch of developers watched anime and, you know, we talked about our favorite animes and we did an entire run on, you know, Cowboy Bebop. And podcasting is one of those things where you can, there's a market for developers who love anime or develop. Mm-hmm. There's so many developers that play Hearthstone, you know,
yep.
there could be a developers of, you know, in Hearthstone podcast. And I encourage anyone, just because I'm doing it. Yeah. I've got experience as a podcaster, but you don't have to just get out there, mm-hmm. buy a cheap mic or use your headphones and just talk about the things that you love. And I think that the Happy Hearthstone podcast is a great example of that, of, you know, just something that can have such longevity that's all based on positivity in a game that, you know, to be quite frank, in the last few months has been shrouded in a little negativity. So I definitely think that if we can still come up here and talk about why we're happy, everyone has at least something that they're passionate enough about to get out there. So I don't want to be the only Battlegrounds podcast. I just want to be the first one.
Hey, that's, you know, there's something to be said about being the first one and the longest running. So I support you in both of those ventures. That'll be good, man. Well, I'm happy today. Actually, I'm coming off of a weekend where my wife went off on a girls' weekend with some of her friends, and she took our infant with her. So this was a very special daddy-daughter weekend, which honestly is just, it just fills up my heart. So we got to do some fun stuff. We spent some time outdoors, indoors. It was tough to not just plug into Disney Plus for the entire weekend, because I'm thrilled about everything that is included there, and especially just letting my daughter get to see all the old classics and stuff. She's been inhaling them any chance she gets, so I know she would have just watched them unyieldingly, and I would have too, but we got to go out and do some fun stuff too. So super thankful for that time. And also, I know that we're really, and I personally also have been playing more Battlegrounds and by extension Hearthstone than I have in a while. But I'm also excited about this other game, Legends of Runeterra, and they opened up for another weekend. And I got to tell you, man, that game has got some splats and glimmer, and I don't even know what other words I want to make up, but it is just gorgeous. And it's a lot of fun because of that. Because of that and the interesting gameplay that it has and stuff, I still know next to nothing about League of Legends, but I'm excited about Legends of Runeterra anytime I get some time on my PC. So I definitely won't be playing it as much, because until they come out with a mobile client, I'm not going to have as much time on my PC as I do on my phone. But I was excited to get another weekend, and I hope you got some good time to try it out. I do need to shout out my buddy Saucy Mailman, who's joined up with the Blevins to start up a podcast called Runeterrible Radio. So if you're looking for a Runeterra podcast, that would be a great place to start. And of course, you can find that wherever podcasts are found. And you're listening to a podcast right now, so you might be able to find a podcast if you search for it. Just saying. So yeah, let's jump into our news here. Jay, Battlegrounds is open to everyone now. And that's a really big deal. Have you noticed a shift in the community with, you know, now there's not people who are on the inside and people on the outside looking in with big puppy dog eyes. But have you been hearing from people who kind of were waiting for this?
You know, I've as we were talking about a little bit before we started, I've actually been kind of on an internet blackout other than jamming Hearthstone and watching some of my favorite streamers. So as far as the community goes, I haven't really had too much thrown at me. But the one thing that I did notice was, man, when you go to Hearthstone on Twitch, it's like, I feel like everybody's playing this, you know, guy. He must be really good. His name is like Bob or something like that. Like, it is just so, like, every single, like, snippet shows a picture of Bob on the other side of the board. So I can tell that it is taking Hearthstone by storm.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And for Hearthstone to have waned so much, especially specifically on Twitch, I hadn't even really thought about that. But I mean, Hearthstone used to own Twitch, and now I feel like it's gained a lot of ground back. The tough thing for me has been that a lot of the streamers who may have gotten their glitz and glamour from exclusively streaming Hearthstone have now moved on to other ventures, and it's many people, not just one. They are so set on a variety kind of stream and playing a lot of different things that I don't know that there's any chance to regain what once was. But even having Hearthstone be a part of that rotation for those streamers is a big deal, because many of those streamers may have sworn off playing Hearthstone ever again. And now the fact that they're not just considering it, but actively doing it and participating is a really big upside for the game and for the community, ultimately.
You know, I hear you on that, and I think that we have to be okay. Like I said, just understanding that, I mean, this game is getting old. Like, this isn't your latest hotness anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to see these little bursts of excitement, but we have to be honest with ourselves. If HS Esports is only doing, you know, 150,000 or, you know, not even that much, you know, it's crazy that there are people who play a game that have millions of people watching them, but yet an entire tournament format can't generate a tenth of what these individuals are doing on the new hotness. And, you know, one of the things that I tell, you know, podcasting clients and other marketing, you know, clients that I have is you can't be focused on the past and you can't be too focused on the future that you miss the present. And mm-hmm. and that's the thing that I do see is I see so many people who are passionate about the game who are starting to feel neglected because Hearthstone hasn't been in the limelight as it used to be. And that's something that is kind of worrying at times. And I think we'll mm-hmm. talk about that a little bit later as well. But, you know, I think that to have all those people that were there come back, even if it is just to play a new game, then, you know, hey, welcome it, because that may inject a little bit of life that might even get some people who left for a while and are now back into the game to stay even longer this time. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to be okay with, you know, that happening. And we also have to be okay with that not happening and just accept where we are.
Mm-hmm. I think we all waste too much time wishing we could go back and live in the good old days and don't appreciate what we have today. So especially when this game mode is so brand new, let's embrace and have some fun with it. And in fact, one of the things that the Hearthstone team is doing to really throw some fun for the people who are re-engaging with it is an event called the Battlegrounds Brawl. And this is going to be a bunch of celebrity or pro players that are coming in on November 21st to play in a tournament. And you can go to the website that they have here, log into your Hearthstone account, and choose one of four teams constructed of those players. And your Battlegrounds play will actually help to sort of level them up for that tournament. And then I believe their play in that tournament will also give them prizes and stuff. So for them, it's actually a way better deal, because I think there's like a $300,000 prize pool or like something absolutely absurd. But for us, there are also some Descent of Dragons packs included with it. So you'll get one just for participating in this. And then if your team does well, you can get even more from that. So I went with the Rust Buckets, which is composed of Tice, Brian Kibler, Amaz, and Kalento. And I saw this one and pretty quickly went to it because Amaz was actually like my OG Twitch streamer for Hearthstone. I think he was the one who really got me to watch Twitch with any regularity back in the day. So I miss him and embrace him returning. And then Tyson Colento are just some of the most brutal competitors long term in the game. And then Kibler, the guy's a genius when it comes to card games. So have you picked a team on this, Jay? Or do you remember who you picked?
I did. I went with the Mega Fins with Hafu, Dog, Trump, and RDU.
And, that's a pretty solid lineup, too.
You know, I will say that this was really hard. They did a great job of balancing these teams out. I know Regis has been streaming like nonstop, and he was like in the top 20 for the longest, and Toast is coming back to play the game, and like you said, I love watching watching Tice and Brian Kibler play, and you see Colento on all the time, and even like the Doombringers with Zalae and Asmodai and Firebat, like these every team was stacked. And I don't know what made me pick the Mega Fins. I genuinely just said, hey, Dog's already won one tournament this year.
Let's go for a second.
Exactly.
I think at some point you just kind of have to go with your heart, because there's no clear, these are the objectively best players here. And I mean, Dog and Hafu have been destroying the leaderboard as well. So I don't think there's a bad choice out of all these teams. But if you have not done that yet, again, Thursday, November 21st is when that tournament is going to be held, and you need to choose your team before then, by November 11th at right before midnight Pacific time. So if you've got time as you're listening to this, you can go over to the show notes at thehappyhearthstone.com, click on it, vote for your team, and at least get one free pack, if not more than that.
Said by November 11th, right?
20th, I think. Why did I say 11th?
You're the totally teams, right. The teams have to be chosen by the 11th, so it is actually too late to
to choose. I thought that they would give you more time than that, and I didn't even think about the date I was reading from the notes here. So, hope you did that. Whoops. But it'll still be fun to tune in for sure. And who knows, maybe they'll throw in some Twitch drops for that as well. But they'll be broadcasting that on the Play Hearthstone Twitch and all that. So that should be good. There's also more Battlegrounds news. So there were actually some balance changes as the open beta was releasing. So I mentioned this as I was recording the show the day before last week, that I assumed there was stuff coming. I did not think that it would be coming this fiercely and quickly. I'm sure no one did. But it seems like there is quick in their step, or jump in their step, or a little jig in their step, whatever they're doing, it's causing some pretty quick reactions and some good reactions from the community too. So we've got Mama Bear that has been ratcheted down to a 4/4 minion that will buff all minion or any beasts that are played by 4/4 instead of 5/5. Kangar's Apprentice has been changed from a 4/8 to a 3/6 minion. And then the other changes are for heroes. So Jiraxxus's hero power used to be 3 mana, give all friendly minions +1/+1. Now it's gone down to 2 mana. Mukla is the biggest change. So before he was a passive hero power, for every beast that you sold, you would get a banana in hand. Now it's whenever you buy a beast, you'll get a banana in hand. So a little more proactive there. And then Toki's hero power now costs 2 instead of 1, because at 1, we were talking right before the show, it was just a refresh. Like, why wouldn't you do that? So now there's a little more nuance to deciding that. So, Jay, I'll let you take this whichever way you want, man. Just from a high level, as far as the fact that we got balance changes so fast, or any one in particular out of these five that you either like or aren't so sure about.
Sure. So the biggest thing that I'm looking at is, one, this game is in beta. To me, as a developer, beta means expect changes. Some people do have the mentality that a beta should be, you know, just small adjustments. But one of the things that this Battlegrounds Brawl made me think about was they're going to have to do a lot of infrastructure changes. Like, it's easy to stream, you know, two people playing each other, but how do you do that when you have to have, you know, four teams all playing in the same, you know, games? You know, how does that work? You have, so now you're having to control like eight players at once. And I know a lot of people, you know, clamor about having a tournament mode. I think that a lot of the reason that this game is still in beta is because they're going to have to still develop a lot of the technology behind doing this at a professional setting, which is a good thing because that and these changes make me feel like they do care about the game enough that they're going to keep changing it. They're going to keep adding and making adjustments as needed. As far as the balance changes themselves, you know, one of the big things that I looked at here was the champion. I think they're called champions instead of heroes for some reason. But the individual champion changes were so big that you have Toki, who was arguably one of the best picks, one of the best choices, now ratcheted down, and I feel like it completely shifted. And then on the other hand, you have someone like Mukla, who was arguably one of the worst because you literally had to get rid of the cards that you wanted, you know, to in order to buff other cards. So it was kind of a hard choice to go with. But now they've almost reversed roles. Anytime I see Mukla, that's an insta grab.
Pretty good. You know, that is, as long as beasts are good, Mukla is good as well.
Exactly. And I mean, I feel like the changes to the cards themselves, Mama Bear and Kanger's Apprentice, I mean, with Mama Bear, I mean, if you're going to have a bunch of people playing, you know, striving for beasts, you have to do something to kind of like, okay, we can't have people, you know, throwing out three Mama Bears on top of, you know, being able to buff it with a banana every turn. Because, I mean, you think about it, you just play Mama Bear and then just grab three cards and you could dust them if you want afterwards. Now, you know, your Mama Bear is getting a +3/+3 every turn. But now it's not as important to grab that Mama Bear. In fact, I've seen a lot of people, you know, if you don't get Mama Bear, it's not the end of the world. There are plenty of other cards that can buff other cards, and they're a lot cheaper and easier to grab. As far as Kanger's Apprentice, I feel like they kind of had to do that just to balance everything out. And Draxus was an interesting pick as well. I think we were talking before the match or before the podcast. I had probably only played with Draxus like once or twice.
Sure, there was really no reason to before.
Yeah, I mean, three mana just to give everything 1/1 is a lot. I mean, that's another card.
Right, exactly.
But moving it down to two, actually, I played a game with Draxus earlier today, and I think I got like second with it. And it was just as simple as like, okay, I'm going to grab every demon I see and I'm just going to hit the button. Like, I'm not going to think about it. I'm just going to just tap the button, you know, let's go. So I think that what they were noticing was these cards weren't getting picked and they wanted to make it not feel as bad. I know that's kind of the problem that I have now is when you have certain options, you're just kind of like, well, which one do I go with? They're kind of all bad. Now I feel like every choice, every set of three that you get should at least have one viable option, one, you know, power option and one secondary just in case.
Yeah. And I think it'll be interesting to see if they take that same kind of approach, because, you know, shifting one into the limelight and one a little bit further down is it's just interesting because we're seeing some buffs, and I like with Kanger's Apprentice, I honestly thought that the change to 3/6 was actually for the better because you want Kanger's Apprentice to die. So there's just some really interesting nuances to these balance changes that make the game sort of shift. And even some of the things that they said is coming, like the ability to sell a minion from your hand, is a significant gameplay shift. So I kind of wonder how experimental they're going to be, if there's going to be a really clear handoff from beta into the full version. I don't know. Maybe there's even bigger things coming than we know. But yeah, it's really exciting. And I think that people who are enjoying the mode are excited to see that this is going to be something that's continued to look at. And we don't need a change every week necessarily. I don't know that we would be too upset about, or I would be, I don't think I would be too upset about that. It might be tough to keep up with to a point, but I think it would be fun that there's, you know, something new happening every single week in the game mode. So, yeah, we'll see how that all plans out. And another really exciting thing is that in the Hearthstone client now, if you log in before November 27th, you're going to get a couple of free rares from the classic set. You'll get a golden Injured Blade Master and a golden Argent Commander. And this is in celebration of the 25th anniversary of Warcraft. Free cards are good cards, and if you don't have these, you should get them. And especially for anyone who's free to play, getting free golden cards like this is just some extra dust, which is invaluable. So you definitely want to log in before November 27th to do that. There's kind of a slight footnote here that we had heard we were getting something for the anniversary, and a lot of people were wondering if it was Tyranda, because we're still waiting. The EU players that are listening are still waiting with bated breath, because they have never had the opportunity to get Tyranda as an alternate hero for priests. So we didn't get it here, but they said that we're going to get it by the end of the year. So I don't know if there's some kind of Wintervale promotion that they're going to have. Well, certainly they're going to do something. I don't know. A Descent of Dragons is going to take over most of December. So I don't know. We'll kind of wait and see. And then we've got one last news thing here. And this is exciting because, Jay, you were telling me that you didn't really look into this too big. So we'll get your full thoughts here, that there were actually some data files that were mined that actually showed us a little hint as to some new heroes that we'll be seeing in Battlegrounds. Do you feel like the game is ready for new heroes at this point, or is it too early for us to be clamoring for this?
So I did hear about the rumor. I don't even think it was a rumor. I think maybe it was Mike Denae
said it. Yeah.
I think Mike Denae announced that they were going to have more heroes. I like that idea. I'm wondering how they're going to play that. Is it going to be a cycling where, you know, for this month, these heroes are in rotation, these aren't? Or is it just going to be, you know, there's a chance that not every hero can be selected? I kind of like the latter. I think that that makes it a little bit harder to come up with a set game plan going into it. Because, I mean, if you got to think about it, if you only have, you know, there's 24 characters, there are 24 options, you know. So in that, you only have to have an idea of eight. And it is, you have a, you know, a, I think it's like a 66% chance that one of those eight are going to be available to you. So if you don't have to know every character, but now with the option of, you know, there's a chance that half of the people that, or half of the characters that you want to play aren't even offered to anyone. So now it does, you know, convince you to try some of the other characters that maybe you were a little bullish on, or you didn't think were as good, and come up with these strategies. So I think it's going to spark a little innovation as far as who the leaked heroes. You know, I would have to probably explore that a little deeper before I came up with any conclusions.
So I'll tell you real quick. I'll tell you them real fast, and then we'll take 60 seconds for some thoughts, and then we'll keep moving from there, because we got a lot of ground to cover here. But I do want to make sure that listeners especially know about this. And if you don't, if you genuinely don't want to know, skip, I guess, 120 seconds from here, and we'll do our best to keep to that. So we've got most of the League of Explorers actually are going to be coming. So Brand Bronzebeard has a passive hero power. After you play a Battlecry minion, give a random friendly minion +1/+1. Elise Starseeker also has a passive hero power. When you upgrade Bob's Tavern, get a recruitment map, which the recruitment map is a spell that says discover a minion from Tavern Tier 0. What we're assuming with this is it'll be replaced with whatever that Tavern tier is. So with the idea, anytime you upgrade, you'll be able to discover a minion from that Tavern tier. Sir Finlay Murkleton is a one mana hero power. Give a random friendly minion +1/+1. After you sell a minion, refresh this. And then Mike Danae actually said that they had a Reno Jackson build. It was just too complex. So I'm sure we'll see some iteration of him down the line. But until then, Sindragosa will take his place. A passive hero power. At the end of your turn, frozen minions get +1/+1. So my quick take is that these all seem powerful in their own rights, and I love that they all play so differently from things that we've seen. I don't see anything here that like screams like repeat. So I that's probably the biggest thing I would value in having new heroes like this, is that they really bring some kind of new play style to the field. So that's my hot take. But Jay, you have an even hotter take because these are brand new. So what's your quick thoughts about this?
So the frozen minions thing, if they're going to play it as the game is currently played, is really interesting, because now you're, I almost feel like it's making you want, kind of like how, I forgot his name now, the goblin character that when you, it's one hero power and you get a coin. It's almost like you're having to choose to pause. It's adding a little bit of control theory into the game of like, if I just delay my turn, I know that next turn will be better. And maybe I delay twice. Maybe it's just worth it to me. But I don't know. That's interesting. I do feel like having more battle cry synergies are necessary. I feel like you have so many good cards that require battle cries that are good, but could be great if I had more reasons to seek out battle cry minions. And I think having a hero that provides some buffing whenever there is a battle cry played is great. And Finlay, oh my goodness. I mean, I thought Dancing Daryl was fun.
But yeah, he seems insane.
Oh, that's just going to be a hoot. Like, the thing that I like about Daryl even is that you can just stay low level and just buy minions, sell tokens, buy minions, sell tokens. And Finlay, I feel like, is going to have that same idea to him. And I think that that's necessary, too, because it is so hard to explain to someone, oh, don't forget to level up. Don't forget to level up. And you can start out with some of these characters that do well at lower levels by saying, oh, you know, you didn't level up this time. That's okay. You have all these tokens. Let's sell them and boost some of these other minions, and then we'll just level up next turn. I think that is a great idea, as well as creating a sort of tier list of character complexity in the game, which is something that many game developers will tell you is kind of necessary. You have to have characters that are easier to play, that kind of have a lower skill floor, or skill ceiling, but then you also have to have those characters that are very complicated, but the payoff is better.
Yeah, I think that they add a lot of levels. I also resonate with what you said earlier, as far as like having some heroes that won't even make a round, essentially. It'll just be fun to see how they continue to add and change things. And just to reiterate, we don't know for sure that these are going to be the final builds, but there's enough data there to make it look pretty clear that these are coming at some point. And no announcements have been made about that either. Although, but as fast as we saw those balance changes, I wouldn't be surprised as this episode is dropping that those heroes might be in the game right now. Who knows? So definitely stay tuned, and we'll keep you up to date with that as well. Well, we've pretty much breached over the halfway point, but to keep things rolling, I'll just make a very quick note here that if you haven't checked out the Patreon for the Happy Hearthstone before, I would really encourage you, especially for some of our newer listeners, you may really want to take a next step and figure out how you can join the community or how you could become a better player. And you can actually do both of those through the Patreon. You can get exclusive content. You can get in my inner circle, known as the Inner Fire, and have conversations around things. So there's a lot to gain there and a lot to give also by giving back to the podcast if you're enjoying it. So you can go check that out at patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone. I know I think patrons at the beginning of every episode and producers later on, but I truly can't make enough time to thank those of you who are doing that. So sincerely, thank you. It never goes unnoticed by me at all. Every time I hit record, I know that I've got plenty of people who are in my corner. Listeners, patrons, and so much more. So thank you so much for that. So we've talked about many things around Battlegrounds, but Jay, maybe we need to take a step back and even think about what Battlegrounds means for Hearthstone players. So why don't you lead us into the conversation here and tell us what you've been thinking?
Sure. So the thing that surprised me when the BlizzCon announcement came out for Battlegrounds was that it was coming to Hearthstone. just based on the trend of other auto battlers, just the idea that Blizzard was going to get into auto battling games, it seemed like, and also the fact that they had kind of taken a step back, they had classified Heroes of the Storm as a classic game. It was in the arcade. It seemed like if there was going to be some type of auto chess game, it was going to Heroes of the Storm. So when they announced that it came out to Hearthstone, my first thought was, okay, this is because of mobile. All of the games, all the auto battlers have a mobile variant except for the Riot one, which I can't, Teamfight Tactics. Mm-hmm. And I think they're working on one. But it was a great idea to make it so that, like, you could play the game whether you're at a desktop, at a laptop, at a tablet, or on your phone. And I think that made Hearthstone the best fit for an auto battler, but at what cost? And that's really what I want, you know, what I was hoping to think about a little bit here is Battlegrounds as a whole good for Hearthstone? And what is it going to mean for Hearthstone as we know it? What is it going to mean for the people that play the game of Hearthstone? And is Team 5 equipped to support two game types? You know, that's something that they were talking about with the Diablo 4 versus Diablo Immortals, you know, conversation. The teams work in the same office, but they're not working on the same game. Whereas the Team 5 team is, you know, they're working on Battlegrounds, they're working on Standard, they're working on Wild, they're working on Tavern Brawl, which we noticed, you know, this, you know, the current week as we're recording, Tavern Brawl has been a mess. So having a new game mode in this game is exciting, but it also worries me a little bit. What about you?
Well, I think that it's fair, and especially in the context that we understand. And for those of you who may have breezed over this or not heard, this game mode started from a development standpoint in April, I believe. Or maybe just before that. So the Hearthstone team was like insanely agile in implementing something that started out as what was going to be like just a tavern brawl for a week. And I cannot give enough kudos to them for noticing how much more potential this had than just a week of fun, essentially. But there is definitely going to be some working backwards that they're going to have to do now for figuring that out. Because as fierce as they were to get it out the door, and as good as it's been for the game to have it, now they do really have to figure out, okay, so what does it look like now? And I think we could probably be here all night talking about how this plays out in other ways of life, whether it's business or family or friendships or anything else, where there's so much planning that goes into making a decision. And I don't know that unless you truly know something extremely well through experience that you ever really know the impact of decisions that you're going to make, especially big ones, right? Whether that's for you personally or for people that are in your sphere, in your family, friends, something like that. So you have to make the best decision that you know with what you can foresee realistically, essentially. And I don't like, it seems like the Hearthstone team knew how much potential this had because they were basing it off of their own desire to play it, essentially. You know, there were people that were playing this on lunch breaks all the time throughout the development of it. And I think that's what really spoke to them that, wow, if we're loving this much, we really think that the, you know, Hearthstone community as a whole is really going to embrace this as well. And they have. But now they have to work backwards to create the support level and say, do we need a full team like we do for Tavern Brawls that specifically oversee this? In the interview that I did for HS Replay with Melissa Corning, she mentioned that her and the live events team, which normally oversees some of the special events like the Firefest Evil that they did or the Rise of the Mechs event, they've designed and supported those things. They're going to be overseeing the Battlegrounds mode for now, but I certainly don't think that it's going to be the right solution for the indefinite future, especially if, I mean, we're not even talking about the potential here for an esports category of Hearthstone Battlegrounds, because I think the potential is there, but Hearthstone Esports has also had their fair share of struggles over the past year and is definitely not well equipped right now to be able to support something completely new.
Well, and you know, one of the things that I looked at with this, you mentioned that they started developing this in April. And with that being said, something happened at Activision Blizzard a month and a half before that that mm-hmm. was devastating. The layoffs happened. And one of the arguments that was made for that was we need to increase our development team. And while it's great to see, you know, at BlizzCon, you see the results of that. You have essentially, four new games that mm-hmm. are coming out. You know, you have a new game mode, you have two brand new games that are coming out, and then you have the regular expansion for World of Warcraft, as well as some revamps. Like, there was a lot that came out, and, mm-hmm. you know, that's something that we see, because at the same time, what's happening to StarCraft? You know, StarCraft kind of faded off into the distance, and sure, the esport is still there, but what updates did StarCraft get other than a couple of small tweaks and small adjustments? Mm-hmm. You know, what happened with, as we mentioned, Heroes of the Storm? I don't think mm-hmm. that... I think that a lot of people are kind of happy that Heroes of the Storm is kind of just becoming the Wild West again. They're doing some fun things out there. Yeah. Some of the other Blizzard podcasts that are out there often talk about how Heroes of the Storm has never been more fun now, but it's because they've kind of loosened the reins a little. But mm-hmm. at the same time, you mentioned you have like the Firefest Evil and you have some of these events. I think we can say now that the current event that just, you know, that just ended and the end results of that now having cards like Evolve and mm-hmm. Some of these other situations in the you know standard and ranked are making the core game a challenge to play. You know, I think the thing about Battlegrounds that is so good is that even when I lose, I still have fun. You know, and that's something that, you know, a lot of the conversations on streams recently have been about, oh, well, I don't like the MMR feel, or, you know, I don't like the standings just being open. I like the ladder system and stars. I actually prefer the ranking system of Battlegrounds over the ladders and stars because, to me, being rank 9, 3 stars means nothing. But knowing that my player score at the moment is like 4369. Okay, now I have something to work towards. I'm going to strive to be a 4500 player. When I hit 4500, I'm going to strive to be 4600. And I don't really care if I'm in the top 200 or the top, you know, 100 or whatever. I just can see myself improving, seeing that point total go up and up and up and up. And when I have a bad time, I can watch it go down, and it feels a little bit more relative to where I'm playing and how I'm playing. And I think that is going to make casual players start to take the game a little bit more serious, where they can go, you know what, hey, in not trying, I've been able to get to 4,000. Maybe I can get to 4,500 if I give it a little bit more effort. And I think that that's better than saying, oh, well, I'm ranked 20. At least I'm at the floor and I can't, you know, do any worse now. So let me just jam Evolve Shaman and who knows, maybe I'll get to rank 15. It changes the mindset of how the game is played. One of the other things that I was looking at with this is the idea of the game being competitive. And that is something that, you know, Andrew talked about a little bit here. If the game is going to be here to stay, what does that mean? What does that mean from a professional standpoint? If we look at how the Grandmasters went, in my opinion, it didn't go well. Grandmasters was a good experiment, but ultimately I feel like it was a failed experiment. We had players who were considered the best in the world decide to stop playing the game because it wasn't financially viable for them. And that is something that I don't think we are ready to accept. I don't see Battlegrounds at a competitive level being helpful to that. If players now are saying, you know what, Grandmasters just isn't worth it, and I can make more money playing Fortnite online in a non-professional setting, you know, setting. I mean, think about that. Major companies are paying streamers to leave Twitch to go to other streaming services. And
it's true. It's crazy.
Like, the competitive side of Hearthstone will not be professionals. It will be semi-professionals. It will be the college scene. That was one of the things that Heroes, in my opinion, did so well, was that they embraced, like, the semi-professional. I loved the fact that Coin Conceit talked about this a little bit. Relationships have been created. There are people who are getting married who met at regional Hearthstone tournaments. Like that is so amazing. Like, I hear about, you know, tournaments being held in my home state of Tennessee, you know, in Knoxville where I grew up, and there was nothing. Like, I would have killed to have been able to go to just even like a Friday Night Magic event, you know, sure, as a kid, and they were so hard to find. And now it feels like Blizzard, in an effort to remain at the top of the Twitch, you know, charts, they've missed out on all of these people who love the game, who play the game for hours and hours a week, who stream the game every single week, day in and day out, that wants, you know, they want to play in tournaments, but they can't because the tournaments aren't provided for them. The tournaments aren't provided in a way that's easy. I mean, Blizzard gives out so much money in the long run. Why can't they give out $1,000 for a regional tournament? What makes it so hard? And to me, Battlegrounds is such a good opportunity for that. They could do these smaller tournaments, but now you have to make the decision of, where do I put my money? Where do I put the urge for people to play professionally? Do I put it in standard and ranked? Do I put it in Battlegrounds? I feel like, in my opinion, Battlegrounds should have been a new game. It shouldn't have been part of Heroes of the Storm, because I think some people just wouldn't have played it based on that. I don't think it should have been in Hearthstone because ultimately I think Hearthstone's going to suffer from a professional standpoint because of it, but I am glad that it exists because it's just so much fun to play. And at the end of the day, that's what's important, is the game fun to play? I feel like, you know, we talked earlier about these people who are leaving professional Hearthstone because it felt more like a business decision than I just love the game and it's fun. Mm-hmm. And that's just something, I mean, that's... there's still Tetris tournaments out there. Why? Because Tetris is an amazing game and it's fun to play.
The resiliency of that game is incredible to me, just for the record.
Like Smash tournaments. Like these are games that, like, if I told you that there was a GoldenEye tournament, you'd be like, yeah, that makes sense. That game is awesome. Like, there are so many games out there.
I literally played GoldenEye last night with some guys. That game has not stood up. Yeah. Just for the record, like one iota, I did not enjoy it. But sorry,
you didn't keep
going.
You didn't go ob job slappers only.
That's true, man. Or maybe rockets would have been more fun. I don't know.
But that's the thing, is like, at the end of the day, we play games because they're fun. Right. I mean, 99% of the people who are going to play Hearthstone want to play the game because it's fun. Most of them don't care about Hearthstone Grandmasters. Most of them don't care about what Blizzard's mindset is behind the game. They just want to play a game that's fun. And once the game is no longer fun, they're going to stop playing. And it's up to Blizzard to make the decision ultimately. What is more important? Is it we want to make the game as fun as possible for the most people? Or do we want to make the game the largest streaming game on the internet? Because, again, the people that watch that stream, the people who participate in these streams, they are 1% of the overall economy of people who are putting money into these games. And I think that Blizzard is losing sight of that.
And it'll be interesting to see how they shift in the future, because I think that an underpinning thing that's been on my mind as we're talking, and, you know, I'm thinking about what you're saying as far as, like, you know, could they, well, obviously, anyone that was thinking an auto battler was coming out of BlizzCon, they were not thinking it was going to be in the game of Hearthstone. They were thinking either in Heroes of the Storm or its own thing or whatever. Blizzard has the chance to change things at any point if they decide to do so. Also, they have a chance to learn from what they've done in Hearthstone and create something at least new-ish that leverages some of the other franchises that they have built already. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens in the future, because I don't think that what they have done or are doing limits what they could do in the future. And I mean, even if it's just the micro ability to change certain cards or heroes really fast in this game mode, I think that they're going to continue to innovate and figure out what works best. And it might be similar to this, it might be a more refined version of this, or it could be something different down the line. Who knows?
You know, as hopeful as I am, I have to play the antagonist in this one, because at the end of the day, Blizzard is now a publicly traded company. They have to respond to their shareholders. They have to respond to their parent company of Activision. And at the end of the day, we can have, you know, for the heart of the game and make the game fun and great. At the end of the day, it's going to come down to a money grab. What can Activision Blizzard do that makes the most financial sense for Activision Blizzard? And it's such a pessimistic way of looking at it. But again, the people that are playing Heroes of the Storm, they love it. And I think that just having something that's out there with no expectations of generating all of this revenue was probably the best thing that happened to that game, because now people can just focus on, hey, the game is fun to play. I mean, wow, what has made Warcraft exist for 25 years? Was it that the tournaments that came out of it generated a lot of revenue? Is it that the game, you know, just had a way of getting people to spend $60 every year? I mean, the game was fun. If it wasn't fun, people wouldn't play it. Ask the people who played Rift or the people that played, you know, many of the other MMOs out there that have come and gone throughout the years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they shift. And I didn't mean to say that money does not have a seat at the table, because it certainly does. I think it'll be interesting to see how they innovate, because one thing that's true about video games over a long period, as we kind of wrap up this discussion, is that games always have to learn to innovate. And I think I've been saying this for a while. I don't know how often I've said it on the show specifically, but we're in a very interesting time in the history of video games because, as you mentioned, Hearthstone is a great example of a game that's been around for far longer than games used to have a shelf life for. And during this point in video game history, companies are really interested in investing in products so that they last a much longer time through the use of DLC, expansions, balance changes, and all sorts of other stuff. So innovation is unique, even though innovation is the quid pro quo, not the quid pro quo, the status quo, excuse me, the thing that companies have to do in order to continue to make money and to be successful. So I think it'll be really interesting to see what part Battlegrounds plays into that. If this is something that is good long term for Hearthstone specifically, good long term for Blizzard in general, or if this auto battler thing, which didn't even exist a year ago, actually ends up having longevity for another year or five or further.
Definitely.
But any closing thoughts from you, man? Or I know Battlegrounds is your baby, so it's like I'm hearing a lot of inner competition as far as wanting it to succeed and yet seeing some other paths. So why don't you close out this conversation with your foresight for what's ahead for Battlegrounds?
I think if I'm looking into the future, I see Battlegrounds existing. I see it kind of falling into the arena, like it's just another game mode. I think that's why they created that modes button and they kind of put it behind the scenes so that they want you to play. In fact, I have, you know, one of the legendary quests, I think yesterday as we're recording this, was play two games in play mode. And what really got me was I played like six or seven Battlegrounds matches wondering why I couldn't complete the quest. And then I had to look at the quest again and it was like, oh, put it, 'cause it's not in play mode. It's in the other modes. So I think that Battlegrounds, eventually the polish will rub off. There will be plenty of people that just love Battlegrounds because it's fun. Mm-hmm. I think if they want it to become a serious part of Hearthstone, they have to support it. Just like how Arena, I feel like a lot of people wish they would have done more with Arena and they haven't yet. I feel like the same is going to happen to Battlegrounds. It saddens me because I would love to see, you know, a ranked version of Battlegrounds, and I would love to try to reach legend in Battlegrounds. I think that would be super fun. I would not regret trying to make that climb every month. But I do think at the end of the day, they're going to have to stick with their bread and butter, which is getting people to buy packs. And the best way to do that is to keep releasing cards and keep people playing the standard game mode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It'll be, I think that's probably the thing I'm most interested to see is how they either monetize Battlegrounds or make it even more cross compatible. Isn't the cross profitable, I guess is the right term for them. So, well, I'm excited to see what it has in store. I'm excited to see your voice in the future too, for this game mode as well, Jay. So lots more conversation to be had. I'm actually kind of bummed that we even have to shut it down at any point, but it wouldn't be an episode if we didn't move into a community section, and especially if we didn't have a card of the week. So as much as you've been pouring out your heart and soul in analysis for what this game mode means, I know that you want to pour your heart and soul into inviting a conversation for a specific card, don't you?
Oh, man. I have been looking forward to this and dreading it at the same time.
It's funny how they both come together. It's really not one or the other. It's a dual thing. Well, whenever you're ready, man, go ahead and take it away.
All right. Baron Rivendare, put him on my board. Death rattles. Pop till they can't no more. Baron Rivendare, put him on my board. Death rattles. Pop till they can't no more. Got my minions on my left, not afraid of death. Opponent sees my board, hits a panda with a sweat. Baron's on the right, death rattles all night. Watch them trigger once, then you watch them trigger twice. You can't keep them from coming. Nothing will stop them, nothing. You can't keep them from coming. Nothing will stop them, nothing. So that was my card there.
That was awesome. I really wanted to start beatboxing, but the sync issue wouldn't have been pleasant in any capacity. So why don't you tell us about Baron Rivendare?
So yeah, if you're not a fan of Old Town Road, then you obviously didn't exist this year. But yeah, Baron Rivendare, a legendary neutral minion from the Naxxramas set. Funny enough, I had never heard of this card until Battlegrounds came out, because Naxxramas wasn't in Standard when I started playing the game.
Right.
So, yeah, this card is so insane. You know, one of the things that you often hear people talking about in Battlegrounds is, you know, what tribe is the best tribe? And while I do tend to really enjoy beasts, I often feel like I'm fighting for cards in beasts and with mechs and with demons. Not so much Murlocs. People tend to leave that open, or they tend to die already. But
yeah.
The one thing that I often think about are the Battlecry cards and the Death Rattle cards. And we talked a little bit about it, you know, with some Battlecry synergies being lacking currently. And Death Rattle's just not the case. There's so many good Death Rattle cards out there. And what better than a Death Rattle triggering once than a Death Rattle triggering twice?
And, of course.
And that's what Baron Rivendare does. And the fact that it's not a six drop is just insane to me. But, I mean, there's so many cards, like anything that's been magnetized, anything that spawns any kind of tokens. Just the fact that when your opponent thinks that they've won, when they think that they've gotten you, they've popped your big bad, and all of the tokens are there, and it's like, wait a minute, what's happening? Oh wait, no. Oh, you're summoning one legendary. Wait, a second legendary too? Oh, what's that? Oh, a four drop min, two four drop minions? What? You're respawning
real quick.
So my favorite synergy with this is you play mechs, and once you reach level six, you get Kanger's Apprentice with any card, but specifically any mech that's going to give you a four drop or a legendary drop. So Sneeds or I forgot the four drop minion's name, but I think it's Scrap.
Piloted Shredder.
Oh yeah, Shredder. That's it. So just the ability to continually pop cards, and then if you add a snake into the pictures, now you have two more death rattles. So you have two death rattles, which turns into four death rattles, which if they pop, you now have eight death rattles triggering. So it can just be so insane. And I have come back from the brink of death on the back of Baron Rivendare. So that is my card of the week. That is definitely the card that I look for more than any other card when I am playing Battlegrounds, because especially if you were behind and you feel like you just need a little bit extra, why not just summon a second Death Rattle? You know, that's sometimes all you need, especially when you're losing those matches very closely.
Pretty much all I have to add is the fact that it is just hard to make space on your board to take full advantage of him, because when you want to choose him, it seems like you already have too many minions, essentially, unless it's a just a straight up piloted Shredder or Sky Golem or something like that, you know. So
the thing about that though is a lot of the piloted Shredder and Sneeds and a lot of these minions, you're going to be making decisions in turn 5 and in turn 6 that will open your board up a little bit. I definitely agree that if you've been going beast the entire time and then you see Baron Rivendare, you probably shouldn't sell all your beasts and just decide to start going the Death Rattle route. But the thing that I've noticed a lot of is in rounds that I feel like I'm falling behind, often you start winning early game, you're doing great, and then in that mid game you start to fall a little bit, and you now have all of these tier 2, tier 3 cards that are, you know, a few are golden and you want to figure out what to do with them. It makes it okay to start selling some of those cards, because the tier 5 and tier 6 Death Rattles are going to be so strong. And especially when you have a card like Baron Rivendare, when you don't necessarily need a ton of synergy, you just need 2 Death Rattle mechs and Kangar's Apprentice, just one. You don't even need it to be golden, and then a Baron Rivendare, and then you're great. And if you get a golden Baron Rivendare, then it drops 3. So I think they trigger 3 times. So that with like a Kaboom Bot is, oh my goodness, I've had golden Kaboom Bot with golden Baron Rivendare.
And oh my gosh.
I forgot how many bombs that was. Like, it's
so
it's
many
literally
bombs.
6 bombs. Like, 6 bombs are going off at that. Or no, not even 6. I think it's like 8 bombs. So
whatever.
Yeah. Well, you're right. Yeah, because it's 2 bombs and then they trigger 3 times. So then, so you have 6 bombs going off. But I mean, that's insane. That's 24 damage going off a Death Rattle. So, I mean, I think that you can, this definitely isn't the card that you want to completely flip your game plan. But when you feel a little lost and you see this card, it's like, wait a minute, I can pull something out. I can make this happen. And I feel like that's often where I find myself a little bit behind, but then never fear, Baron Rivendare is here.
Man. He's a solid card, and I just really want to play Battlegrounds right now. Which,
me too.
by the way, I was looking at news as we were talking here, and apparently Mike Danae said on a stream tonight as we're recording that they're going to rotate in 4 heroes and rotate 4 out, and they're going to buff demons and murlocs come the time that this episode releases. So, I think we're talking weekly updates here, which is just crazy. So
that scares me so much. I don't see them being able to maintain that. It's just so much.
What I appreciate is that they're not saying that they're going to do this every week, but so far they're making some quick adjustments. So we'll see how that shapes up. But in the meantime, we're going to shut down because we need to. But I just want to thank you and remind you, as always, that you are the Happy Hearthstone. This show is all about our great community, which includes you because you're listening to it right now. So whether you've engaged for a really long time or you've joined the fold recently, I want to thank you for making time in your schedule to hang out here, talk Battlegrounds, and get to know other great people like Jay who are part of this community. There are some great free ways that you can support the show, like leaving a review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. It just takes a few minutes, and I'd love to read some reviews. Well, I love reading reviews when we get them. So please take some time if you haven't done that yet. And then the Patreon is always going to be the best way to support the show and yourself as you grow as a Hearthstone player. You can go to patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone to do so. And this is the part of the show where I thank the producers of the Happy Hearthstone. So, Jay?
Yes.
Thank you. Thanks, man.
Oh, you're welcome.
I always make it so impersonal, but this is as personal as it gets. Seriously, though, man, you've been a part of the community for a while, and you've been supporting the show for a while. So along with Menok and Number Theory, just the three of you make this show happen in a very unique way. So I'm really glad we got the chance to do this, because I've been on one of your shows before. Now we finally got you on here, and we'll just continue collaborating for the future, if that sounds good with you, man.
Oh, absolutely. And I can just say that I am not one to subscribe to a lot of Patreons, but what I do often subscribe to is the spirit of something, the heart of the cards, if you remember the days of Yu-Gi-Oh.
I like where you're going with
so,
that.
The thing that really convinced me to back this podcast over all of the other podcasts out there is that even in the most negative of times, even when the rest of the internet is mad, I have at least one reason to be happy. And I will be the first to tell you that this week has been very challenging for me on a professional level, on a personal level. And the one thing that I was looking forward to, well, the two things I was looking forward to, was the fact that I had to go back and listen to a couple of episodes to do some research and just get some ideas. But then also the fact that I knew that just coming on to this show and sitting down and getting to talk with Andrew for an hour and a half, was going to really brighten my day. So if you are considering... You know, if you think that gaming is negative, if you think that, oh, you know, I would love to support a podcast, but you know what, the game is just too toxic or anything like that, I understand, but I can tell you that becoming a part of the Inner Fire, supporting this podcast, has been one of the rays of sunshine in my personal life. And I've been happy to support for several months now, and I don't have any intentions on, you know, stopping that support anytime soon.
Man, I'm as speechless as it gets. So thank you sincerely, man. It means a lot on its own, but those words are as kind as it gets. So thank you so much. You only help make it better by being a part of it, man. Sincerely. So. And the same is true for you as well. Some great ways that you can contribute and connect with me are on Twitter at @AndrewIsLiving, and you can shoot me an email at thehappyhearthstone@gmail.com if you prefer that as well. I would love to have you on this show. If you have any interest at all, come join me. If you don't have interest in doing that, then don't. That's okay too, because I know some people don't like to get behind a mic, and that's totally fine. But if you've thought about it, if you've kind of been tossing around the idea, reach out to me, let me know, and we'll figure something out. So again, Twitter Andrew's Living, and email thehappyhearthstone@gmail.com. All right, Jay, tell these lovely people where they can find you, where they can connect with your just brilliant content that is about many different things, but all with the same great spirit. How can they follow and be a part of what you're doing, man?
So for this, for the Hearthstone community out there, I would suggest just following me on Twitch. I do stream. I am going to start trying to stream more regularly, especially with this new project coming out. The one headache with that is I'm on the Mac ecosystem, and Catalina is not very streamer friendly at the moment. But
I've heard,
I'm working on that, and we do have a PC now. So worst case scenario, I might have to fire up the old Windows machine and go on that. But yeah, follow me on Twitch at KJY Miller. I'm everywhere else in the world at KJY Miller. I am sorry, but again, I've been kind of taking a break from social media, and I'm only on Twitter even when I am on social media. But if you follow me, expect a lot of developer and coffee stuff, because those are a couple of other things that I'm passionate about. And if you are interested in starting a podcast and you want a little bit of help getting that off the ground, or at least thinking about it, consider reaching out to me. You can go to productivityintech.com. As I always tell people, I give advice away for free unless you're a company, and then I charge you.
Yeah, that's actually a really good standard to live by right there. And Jay really knows his stuff and is very generous too with being able to help, support, and whatever. Guy's got a family to feed too, but he's as genuine and real as they come. So yeah, please do that too. Man, it's been so good having you on here. It's like we've been friends for a really long time, and I guess coming up on a year is about that. But seriously, man, I'm glad we got this time and excited for what the future has for Hearthstone and for us, man.
So I just wonder, if I subscribe to you twice, can I get two coaching sessions? Because that'll give me another excuse to hang out with you.
We can definitely work on a deal that doesn't require that. Let's say bare minimum, okay? I'm always down for the hang-in time. It's the curse of having the beautiful families that we do that doesn't enable for more time. But we'll figure it out, man. We definitely will.
Very true. You know, I am looking for a co-host on the titled but top secret Battlegrounds podcast, so maybe I can twist your arm a little bit harder.
Oh man, I if I come up with an episode title that I'm at least a little proud of pretty often, then I think we can definitely knock one out of the park for that. So that sounds great, man. Well, thanks so much for coming, man, and thank you for visiting the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. We'll see you next time.
Take care.